delivered to you every morning and ready to be devoured on demand. When and where you like. It's the Harry and Dana podcast.
Yeah, with Harry and Dana. Today is Remembrance Day. And Dana, you've got a special connection to Remembrance Day.
Yeah, well, first up, I just want to say that it is a very important day, I think, for us all to remember those who sacrificed their lives, not only in the Great War that finished up 102 years ago today when the armistice was signed, but also to remember those who sacrificed their lives in all wars since then as well. Usually it's represented by a poppy. The poppies that popped up at Flanders Fields in Fromelles in France after the Great War. But my personal connection is that my brother is in the Army Reserves and I'd love to get him on today, but I can't. He's actually training out in the field at the moment doing a two-month course in regional Australia. So we couldn't get him on, but I do have that personal connection. He has been deployed before, which I remember that feeling. I mean, it was a feeling of excitement for him because it's something that he's wanted to do for a long time. Mm. But that feeling of fear of not knowing sort of where he was going or what he was going to be doing and that
whether it's going to be safe or not.
Exactly. Kind of wasn't even clear to him at the time. But, you know, you sign up to be part of the reserves and you go when you need to be, you know, helping protect our country. And that's what he did. I can't say where he went, but he did. And he's now back and safe and obviously training. But, you know, I can't even imagine what these families were going through or what people still go through today when their sons and daughters are deployed and, you know, go overseas to fight and lay their lives on the line for our country. I think it's incredibly important that we do take the time. It's a minute of your day at 11 a.m. We will be playing a minute silence here on Power just to really remember and to, you know, pay our respects to those people who ultimately do pay the ultimate sacrifice of their life.
Yeah, absolutely. And to think of the families, particularly the families that were in the same position as you when your brother was deployed, didn't know, fighting these wars in far-off places they would never have travelled to, never even heard of, to have a real thought for those people and their families as well at 11 a.m. today is something really important, I think.
Incredibly important. And if you can spare a couple of dollars and you do see people selling poppies that do go to the old veterans and that kind of thing, absolutely, just pop a dollar in their tin. But coming up, we're going to be chatting to Terry Gill. He is a war memorabilia collector and historian right here from the Hunter Valley, and we're going to have a chat to him about how, you know, the Hunter Valley was affected during the Great War. We're going to get into that next. It is Remembrance Day today. On this day, 102 years ago, the armistice was signed to signify the end of World War I on the 11th hour, on the 11th day of the 11th month. And it is a day that we remember all those who have sacrificed their lives to protect our country. We will be doing a minute silence at 11 o'clock here on Power FM. But to give us a bit of an insight about how the Hunter Valley has been affected by war, we've actually got Musselbrook historian and collector Terry Gill on the phone. Terry, how are you?
Not bad.
That's good. Yesterday you told me a wonderful story about how you got into collecting war memorabilia, about when you visited Newcastle as a boy. Can you tell us that story?
We went down to Newcastle to an auntie lived down there, and we were to go to have a look at a movie down there as a family. And we were walking through Hamilton, and there was a second-hand shop there, and there was three medals in the window.
Yeah.
And it was 2 and 6 for these medals. And anyway, I said to my father that I'd rather buy the medals than go to the movie. And he said, no. He said, we're all going to the movie as a family. That's why we come down to Newcastle for. And after we watched the movies, we come out and he said, I've got something for you. And he'd bought the medals for me because he knew that that I liked military stuff. And that's how I really started off.
Well, that's great because now your collection is huge. If anybody listening wants to go down to the Musselbrook Library, there's a huge display on in the foyer there. Why do you think it's important to really display these things and remember war from years gone by?
A lot of young kids now don't realise what Remembrance Day was. 213 men from towns, villages and rural communities of the Hunter Valley enlisted to serve overseas. 1,981 men at that time of the enlistment were living in the Hunter Valley and were killed in action, died of wounds and died of other causes between 1914 and 1919. Of that 1,981 of the Hunter Valley men that died during the First World War in ridges and gullies and trenches, 774 of those men haven't got a grave.
Isn't that incredible? I remember going over to France and seeing those unmarked graves, and it's so important to remember this date because you're right, we are, you know, paying tribute to these men and women who lost their lives for us. What's your personal connection to Wars of the Past? You said you had some family involved?
Well, I had a great-uncle that went over in the First World War and three other great-uncles that were in the Second World War, and grandfather, he was a warden here in Russellbrook, and he played the bugle. His name was Al Griffiths. He played the bugle for every Anzac March from, I think it was 1927, right up to about 1973.
Wonderful. Well, Terry, thank you so much for joining us. We will be observing a minute silence at 11 o'clock. Thank you so much, Terry, for your expertise, and thanks for joining us this morning on Remembrance Day.
Righto. Thank you.
The Big Three.
Baraba Hunters Toyota Specialist for 30 years. Singleton Toyota.
Oh, our favourite, Jessica Rouse from the newsroom, joins us. Hello.
Hey, guys.
How are you?
I'm good. I love the energy that you have. It's like,
you've got a big smile on your face today. I love that.
Is it because it's Wednesday and we're halfway through the week?
Of course.
Yeah.
Booyah.
Are you like me? Do you already plan? I get up on a Monday morning and I plan my weekend.
No, Grant will tell you that I never have plans for the weekend. I'm very boring.
Really? You're not boring?
I don't believe that for a second. You were very busy last weekend.
Well, that was an exception. That was weird.
That was weird. Let's chat about the Big Three. This is the biggest three stories you need to know this morning. Joel Fitzgibbon.
Yeah, so yesterday, Hunter MP Joel Fitzgibbon quit the shadow cabinet. So he was the shadow minister for resources and agriculture, but yesterday stepped down from that position. He said that since the last election, that's been his plan all along. He was only going to stay there for 18 months, kind of do what he could, try and bring the Labor Party back to the roots that he believes it should be. He's been in the Labor Party for more than 30 years. Lots of criticism about maybe that not being the entire reason as to why he quit. Could it have been that conflict of interest within the party, his opposing views to climate change and some of Labor's policies? Was there a bit of, does he not want to be with Anthony Albanese? Does he not want him to be the leader? So still a little bit up in the air,
the
real reason may be.
Do you think we'll hear news of maybe what the real reason is, or he'll stay
through?
I'm going
to chat to him in about an hour, so we'll see what we can find out.
Right. Interesting. Good luck with that.
Okay. Let's chat about COVID again. I know we're sick of it. Sick of hearing of it, but Australia has reached a milestone.
Yeah, we have. So we've had three consecutive days of no cases of COVID-19, which is great.
And that's across Australia?
Yes, Australia-wide.
Including Victoria.
This is a phenomenal result. It would have been 3 months ago, Melbourne alone was hitting over 700 cases a day.
Yeah.
For us now, Australia-wide, to hit zero, I cannot believe it. Like, it's the worst it's been everywhere else in the world.
Yeah, and it's been 250 days since we've seen, like, three or more consecutive days of nothing cases, which is great.
Yeah, we're the envy of the world. Like, Europe's going into, I keep calling it a second wave, but I feel like it's really like a third wave over there.
Yeah.
But they're about to have lockdown, another whole round of lockdown procedures. The UK's in lockdown as we speak.
Yeah.
No one can go out anymore. That's what they were upset about, by the way.
No pubs.
No pubs. I know, it's such a pub culture there. Is this word of the year?
Yes.
Yeah, so already been released. It's only November.
I know, the Collins English Dictionary word of the year. I know you just said we're sick of talking about coronavirus, but the word of the year is pandemic related.
Yeah.
And the word of the year is lockdown.
No way.
What was it?
Lockdown.
So the Collins Dictionary people say it's because it is a unifying experience for billions of people across the world who've had collectively to play their part in combating the spread of COVID-19 by being in lockdown together.
Oh, so it's like a big family warm hug because everybody's been in lockdown together.
Yeah, do you feel the warm hug?
It's been really hard.
Yeah. You had suffered the most. You came up from Victoria.
Yeah, but I did feel like a sense of camaraderie when we all went into lockdown at the beginning of the year, like Australia-wide. I did feel that sense of like, not friendship, but like, you know, camaraderie between everybody.
I made the most stupid decision in the world. What? When lockdown happened, I drove down to my parents' house and moved in with them for 6 weeks.
That's dumb.
It was, no, she's right. It was aww, so dumb. Oh, we could have
killed
one
Harry's
another.
Morning, Harry's mum and dad.
Oh, yeah. Hey, mum and dad, love you. But honestly, we could have killed one another. It was so
your
bad.
Your poor parents. I deal with you for 3 hours every day. Imagine 24 hours. Your poor parents.
Jessica Rouse, thank you so much for the big three this morning.
No worries. Exposed. In entertainment news, Beyonce and Jay-Z's daughter, Blue Ivy, has... Is it Ivy Blue or Blue Ivy?
Whatever. If it's a celebrity's name, it's dumb.
It's not
celebrities
dumb.
Give their kids stupid names.
It's really cute. It's Ivy Blue. She's landed her first major job as an audiobook narrator.
Dreamscape presents Hair Love by Matthew A. Cherry. Narrated by Blue Ivy Carter.
It is Blue Ivy. Whoopsie.
I've heard better.
Get off her back. She's 8 years old, Harry.
So what?
This
She's
is
a celebrity.
Matthew A. Cherry's book. It's called Hair Love. It was turned into a film as well and took home the Oscar for Best Animated Short Film in February. The book encourages girls of colour to celebrate their natural and curly hair. But back home now, Gogglebox stars Lee and Keith have celebrated their 35th wedding anniversary.
Did you want a coffee or...
As if.
Will you stop moving with the pillows? You're deliberately doing it now.
I am.
I'm going to smash your elbow.
No, not my pointy.
Oh, so you did it again.
Not my pointy elbows.
You have got the most pointiest elbows I've ever seen in my life.
I sharpen them. I start by sharpening them just for you.
You right now?
Okay.
You can definitely tell they've been married for 35 years, but it has been announced that Gogglebox will return to screens next year and the couple will be appearing.
Who cares? You could not pay me to watch that crap.
Well, it's funny you mention that because you actually argue as much as Keith does, so you'd be great on the show.
I don't want to go on the show. I hate that show. Is this the show where you literally watch other people watching TV?
Yes.
What
it's
is
funny.
The appealing in that?
It's so funny.
So you watch it?
Sometimes, yeah.
Oh, no. No, that's not for me. You and I have very different tastes in television shows.
Very different taste in everything. I've got a bit of a surprise for you, Harry. The other day, you actually accused me. We were talking about online dating and Tinder, and you accused me of not loving love. And that's so incorrect. I love love, and I want to prove it to you that I'm totally on board. You've got a date in a week and a half's time, and you haven't been on... You say that, you know, you're charming and your charm gets you by, but you haven't been on a date for a while. So I thought to show my appreciation and that I'm completely behind you with this online dating thing, I've decided to get you date fit.
Presenting the one,
this?
The only, Dana the Date Coach.
I want you whipped into shape. When I say jump, say how high. You know you're doing it right when you start to cry.
Get you date fit. We're going to go through the whole process. We've got a week and a half to get you whipped into shape to be date fit, ready for next Saturday.
Tone it down a little. You're very excited. First of all, that's our whole production budget for the week. Blind on that opener.
Worth it.
Thanks
for
that.
You're going to be so ready for this date.
And I don't need a date coach. I'm fine. I've been on plenty of dates. I'm fine. I can charm my way through it. It's all right.
Yeah, but you showed me your Tinder pictures yesterday. You were a little bit trimmer back then. So we're going to get you trim in the next week and a half. We're going to get you eating better because, my God, have I seen you eat that many bacon sandwiches. And you're a very hairy man. So we're going to have to fix up the manscaping situation.
I love that you have just taken it all. On board that this is what you're going to do to me and I don't have a choice in the matter.
No, you don't. In fact, I've already organised. We're going to get someone on the phone next. I've teed up an exercise class for you tonight and we're going to get the instructor on the phone and they're going to help me whip you into shape.
Well, are you going to get them on the phone next?
Next. And you have to go to this class tonight. You don't have a choice.
Oh, I love that I have to go to this class tonight. I'm going to do what I do every night. Sit out the back and just chill out and...
No, we're going to get you on board. This is a healthy lifestyle change for you, Harry.
I will talk to them, but I'm not agreeing to go to any classes
tonight.
Okay,
all right, you can talk to them. Hopefully they'll help convince you. Let's get you date fit.
Presenting the one, the only, Dana the Date Coach. I want you whipped into shape. When I say jump, say how high. You know you're doing it right when you start to cry.
This is ridiculous.
Harry, I'm going to get you date fit. As the ultimate show of support for your dating venture. You've got a date next Saturday, I believe. And, you know, I want to show you my support. You had a go at me the other day saying that, oh, you don't love love. I do love love. And this I'm going to prove it to you.
I think I'm just a little bit more romantic than you. That's all. I just love romance.
And I love love. Okay?
Sure, I love love.
Going to make sure that you are in the best possible situation for your date next Saturday. The first thing that we need to do is get you physically fit, because your Tinder pictures just show a little bit of a difference in the Harry then and the Harry now.
I was a little bit skinny when those pictures were taken last year, but I'm not deceiving anyone.
No, I don't think you are, but you know, if I was the girl you were dating, I'd want you to make an effort. So the next week and a half, I'm going to take you through a process of getting really date fit, which involves the first thing tonight. I've got Nat from CrossFit on Muscle Brook on the line. She's going to help me whip you into shape. Hey, Nat, thanks for taking on this quite hefty challenge.
No worries at all. We're up for the mission anyway.
Well, we want to get him along, but you have to help me convince him to do so. Can you tell me, what are the benefits that he's going to get out of CrossFit?
Oh, well, it's definitely going to get him date ready.
Okay, I'm listening, Nat. I'm still hesitant.
Look, at the end of the day, Rome wasn't built in a day, all right? So we're definitely up for the challenge, and I'm sure we'll help him get rid of a few lumps and bumps and tidy up those love handles.
Okay, great. So you're willing to help me whip him into shape?
I am, mate. I'm up for the task.
Okay, well, we want to start easy, but we want to build to something. So what is the hardest exercise that we can put Harry through?
Oh, mate, I would start with a burpee.
What's a burpee?
They're hard.
Oh, mate, drag yourself up from the floor, mate. Back down, back up again.
It's like a push-up and then you have to jump up and, like, repeat.
And how often do I have to do this at CrossFit?
Multiple times, mate.
No.
You'll be fine. Just lay off the bacon sandwiches, Harry.
Mate, that's it. That's dead right.
All right, so we've got about a week and a half, 2 weeks to get him toned up and date fit, Nat. Do you reckon we'll see some progress in that time?
Oh, as I said, Dana, Rome wasn't built in a day. We'll give it a good nudge.
Are you on board, Harry?
I'm very hesitant about this, but I will see you tonight for CrossFit, Nat.
Yes!
You're legendary.
Well, hold on a second. I don't want your expectations to be too high. I am very unfit, so you may need a couple of paramedics on standby, just letting you know.
Oh, well, at the end of the day, I've never used that bloody D-fib before, but...
Yes, have the D-fib ready.
It's the Harry and Dana podcast. Stay up to date on everything Hunter Valley on our socials at 98.1 Power FM or at 98.1powerfm.com.au.